Good afternoon, everyone. Calling the June 23rd, 2023 meeting of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 1:31 p.m. Next item of business, roll call.
Chris Daly.
Present.
Charlene Larbs.
Present.
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Mark Harris, our attorney, he is on. Shana Ganatra, our executive director.
Present.
And myself, Vicki Garola, the licensing specialist.
Considering we have established a quorum, having the majority of board members present today, our next item of business is agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have anything to declare?
This is Charlene Marbs. I have no conflicts.
This is Barbara Paulson. I have no conflicts either.
And Chris Daly, I have none. Considering we have no conflicts, moving on to agenda item 4, discuss, amend, and approval of the meeting minutes. 4-1, regular session meeting minutes of May 12th, 2023. All board members were present for that meeting, and the meeting minutes were previously distributed. Is there anything to discuss pertaining to those meeting minutes?
This is Charlie Marbs. I have nothing to discuss.
Hearing no discussion, I move to adopt the May 12, 2023 meeting minutes as distributed.
This is Barbara Paulson. I'll second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that the May 12, 2023 meetings are approved. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item of business, agenda item 5, review and consideration of future board meeting schedule. And we're looking at item 5A, July 14th, B, August 11th, and C, September 8th. Do any members of the board have any scheduling conflicts at this time?
This is Charlene Marbs. I will not be available on September the 8th.
This is Barbara Paulson. At this point, I can attend all of those meetings.
And Chris Daly, I have no conflicts at this time.
Shall we table that? Chair. Shall we table that September 8th until Dr. McAllister comes to the next meeting to determine if he's available?
Great idea. Do we need a motion to table that item?
I make a motion that we table the item of the September the 8th meeting until Dr. McAllister is present.
I'll second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we table agenda item 5C until Dr. McAllister is present at a future meeting. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. All right. Thank you, everyone. Moving on, next item of business, agenda item 6. Review, consideration, and possible action, complaints, investigations, and compliance. 6A, initial review, and 6B, review on whether or not to open complaint. We have no items for either of those agenda items, 6A or 6B. Moving on to agenda item 7, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. We have 7A, the matter of Jessica Millsaps. And in very quick review.
Mr. Chair, Jessica is on, I believe.
Oh, great, thank you, Ms. Igarola. Really quick review, Ms. Millsaps applied for an initial OTA license during COVID, at which time she requested a fingerprint waiver. Ms. Millsaps then submitted her application, her initial application on July 9th, 2020. Ms. Millsaps was issued a provisional license on October 4th, 2020, which expired on April 3rd, 2021. We did not receive her fingerprints or the $22 fingerprint processing fee. We learned that Ms. Millsaps had been providing OTA services since the expiration of her provisional license, which expired on April 3rd, 2021. Ms. Millsaps provided OTA service from April 3rd, 21 until April of 2023. And Ms. Millsaps, we may have a few questions for you, but just wanted to give you the opportunity to address the board at this time if you would like to.
Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just through the process for the COVID license or the license during COVID, I think there is some confusion when applying for the license. And I assumed that after the provisional period, I would just have the normal license and it would expire in April of 2023, like with the regular 2-year period. So that's kind of what happened.
This is Charlene Marbs. When I was looking through the documentation, it appeared that two emails were sent to her. Is that correct, Ms. Igarola?
Yes, Ms. Marbs, that is correct. That was on February 2nd of 2021 was a 60-day reminder and then a 30-day reminder on March 4th of 2021 to the email address we have on file.
Ms. Millsaps, will you verify if that was the correct email address?
Which email?
I would have to pull that up one moment.
Oh, it's on Indian School?
No, Ms. Paulson, that would be, they go out email, and it's a Gmail account. jmillsaps88@gmail.com.
Oh, yes, that's my correct email.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, Ms. Millsaps, did you not receive the emails or?
I did not see them in my email, no.
I don't have any additional questions, Mr. Daly.
Okay, and Ms. Millsaps, just to confirm, when it was brought to your attention in April of this year, did you cease practice immediately upon being informed of the matter?
Oh, yes. As soon as I saw that it was expired, I notified my employers and they paused my employment and I have not been practicing since.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions from board members?
I don't know if I have a question. I could see from Ms. Millsaps' personal statement that there was confusion, but I can also see that the board did follow through with its responsibilities and notify her with a 60-day reminder and a 30-day reminder at the appropriate email address, it sounds like. So, just wanted to put that out there.
And just one other item that stood out to me was the, I'm looking at the license certificate, and it does say expires on 4/3/2021.
I noted that as well, Mr. Daly. Yeah.
Right, because do I understand that provisionary is how many months? Four? Ms. Igarola, or?
It was 6 months,
Ms. Six Paul. Months for a provisional. Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Okay. Well, in this matter, looking at our usual grid or decision-making process for practicing without a license, looking at Item four, a calendar time of 1 year or practice time of 240 to 359 days. The typical discipline for that is probation of 2 years and 6 hours of continuing education in medical ethics.
Mr. Daly, would that be 1 year or 2 years from 2021 until 2023?
Oh, my apologies. Yes, apologies. So that does take us to item six, 2 years or longer, practice time of 480 days. The typical discipline would be probation equal to twice the time non-compliant and 9 hours of continuing education and medical ethics.
Mr. Daly, I'd like to make a motion that the discipline administered here would be in alignment with our matrix of double the time of non-compliant, which would be 4 years, and the notification to the clients and insurance companies with proof provided within 30 days, and then the 9 hours of continuing in medical ethics.
And before there's a second, could just one quick discussion point. We have eliminated that middle section of the discipline in terms of informing insurance companies and clients. We've been leaving that up to the practice.
Okay. I revised my motion to eliminate the notification of the clients and insurance company.
Mr. Chair, could I just interject or kind of swerve a little bit on this before we go forward to just make sure it's on the record that the findings of facts validate that Ms. Millsap did practice without a license. And the conclusion of law is that it was in violation of revised statute 32-340110Z, failing to renew a license while continuing to practice occupational therapy.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my understanding of the discussion is that you're prepared to offer Ms. Mills a consent agreement for the issuance of her license, subject to the findings, facts, conclusions of law, and period of probation that has been previously discussed. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then I would just add, if not signed, then you would have to either just grant the license or deny it. And I suspect you would deny it if not accepted. But what we could do is bring that back to the board in the event that she doesn't sign the consent agreement.
Okay.
If you would prefer.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Do we have a second to Ms. Marb's motion?
Could I hear the motion again? Sorry.
Oh, Ms. Ganatra raised her hand.
Thank you, Ms. Marb. Mr. Harris, if I can clarify what was the note you had made. If Ms. Millsap is currently on the agenda for an approval of of licensure. Of course, upon contingency of the consent agreement, shall that be paused, her approval of licensure, or shall that be processed? And if not signed the consent agreement, then we revisit this at the next board meeting?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. So the consent agreement would be for the issuance of the license subject to the terms and conditions. And then if it's not signed, it would come back to you to determine what to do, either offer a different consent agreement or deny the application.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
So I think we're just waiting for a second, correct?
Oh, we need to restate it.
Correct. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
That we are offering Ms. Millsap a consent. I make a motion that we're making an offer of a consent agreement to Ms. Millsap for probation of 4 years, which is in alignment with our discipline matrix, and 9 hours of continuing education in medical ethics, 6 hours to be taken in the first year.
And can we include that is based on the findings of fact and the conclusion of law that we...
Based on the finding of facts and conclusion of law.
Okay. And do we need to include that we are granting her license if she so accepts and signs this or not? Is that too much?
No, that will be in the consent agreement.
Okay. Thank you.
Now we need a second, correct?
Yes.
This is Barbara Paulson. I will second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we offer Ms. Millsaps a consent agreement for approval and issuance of licensure due to violation of ARS 32-3401-10Z consent agreement to include 4 years of probation as well as 9 years of continuing education in medical ethics, 6 hours to be taken in the first year.
One correction, Mr. Daly. It's 9 hours of continuing ed. You said 9 years.
Oh, that would be excessive.
That's a long time.
Shall I restate?
Sure. Please.
It is moved and seconded that we offer consent agreement for approval and issuance of licensure due to violation of ARS 32-3401-10Z to include 4 years of probation and 9 hours of continuing education in medical ethics, 6 hours to be taken in the first year. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Ms. Millsaps, do you have any questions for us?
I don't believe so. I would just, for the continuing education, I would just send that to the board.
Yes, that's correct, Ms. Millsaps.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, Mr. Chair, can I ask, the continuing education, is that in addition to continuing ed that would, to the a renewal? I'm sorry. Are those hours not allowed to be used towards a renewal?
Correct. That is typically in addition to the standard renewal hours.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Igarola. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Millsaps, for your time today.
Yes. Thank you for listening to my statement.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 8, review, consideration, possible action on applications for licensure. 8A, initial applications. Make sure this hasn't changed. 8A, we have 8A1, Kathy Carter. And in very brief summary, this is a situation that occurred in 1983 pertaining to writing a check for college books with insufficient funds in the bank account. The matter was fully resolved and did not lead to any type of conviction. Ms. Carter provided a detailed account of the events. And I would just like to mention at this point, I was fully satisfied with the account that was provided by Ms. Carter. I don't know if any of the other board members have any questions or want to address anything additional in this matter.
Mr. Daly, I don't have any additional questions. I was satisfied with the recount of the incident as well and Ms. Carter's statement.
I concur with the rest of the board members.
And Ms. Carter, I know you're here with us today, completely optional. I don't know if you felt like you needed to make any type of statement to the board, but it's certainly optional on your part.
No, I have nothing else to add to my supplemental information provided in the event that occurred 40 years ago.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Ms. Carter. Do we have a motion?
I move that the board approve the license of Kathy Carter. Is there a second?
This is Charlene Marks. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the license for Kathy Carter. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marks.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today, Ms. Carter. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, Ms. Carter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, agenda item 8A2, the matter of Anna Edwards. In very brief summary, Ms. Edwards did have disciplinary action against her California license for failure to comply with a citation order related to unprofessional conduct pertaining to professional development units or PDUs in 2018, specifically for failure to submit evidence of completed PDUs, which ultimately led to being placed on probation in California in 2019. Ms. Edwards, are you here with us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Just wanted to give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose.
Yes, I'll reinstate just what you said. I guess give a little more background as well. So I was audited. I was audited and I failed to submit 2 additional CUs out of what was required because I was on a travel assignment and I could not find, you know, the copies and I had a court order. So I have started probation as of 2019, April. Technically, I'm still on probation because my license has been told because I have not worked in California since COVID.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Do any board members have additional questions for Ms. Edwards?
Mm-hmm. This is Barbara Paulson. Was there any updates about any of the other parts of the accusation complaint that you've completed, or are you just, I don't know if you can just let it go and not, I don't know, help me understand this.
It's kind of ridiculous, but as far as what I needed to do, I paid my fees, I've done my continuing education, I still submit my quarterly reports to my probation monitor. I still receive quarterly updates from them as well, because I still have to report if I have any criminal charges against me or if there's any changes, even though I'm not working in the state. So I cannot nothing counts towards my California license and towards that probation because I'm not working in California. So it'll continue to stay like that. My license is still active at the moment. I just have not worked in California.
Okay. So, but you are obligated to complete this complaint accusation against you at some point, or can it just go on for
indefinitely? That is a great question that I believe can only be answered by the California board. I'm sure that I can surrender my license if I choose to, but that's not something that I would like to do just because of continuing education.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
And I have a question, Ms. Edwards. So you said you are completing the hours, or you have completed the hours towards the continuing education requirement in California while you're
I had 6 months to complete the 24 hours that have been completed.
Okay.
Yeah, so my continuing education is completed. The only thing that's not completed is the year served for while on probation in the state of California. And it has to be a minimum of 40 hours for the month, but I cannot complete those if I don't work in California. So it doesn't count towards my probationary years.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to sneak in a quick question of board staff. Is Ms. Edwards' application complete for Arizona?
Yes, ma'am. She has submitted all required documents and payment, and she is ready for a decision on her license.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Cigarella.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to request that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Chris Daly, I second the motion. It is moved and seconded that we go into executive session for legal advice. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, leaving general session at 1:58 p.m.
And if I may remind, all board members will remove themselves from this meeting and go to executive session, and all public can stay here. Just no side conversations, please. And Ms. Igarola will be here to just monitor. Thank you.
Thank you. Are we all back?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Harris, back too?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, there he is. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that we approve the license of Ms. Edwards. You're muted, Mr. Chairman. You're muted, Mr. Daly.
So sorry, my apologies. We are returning to general session at 2:02 p.m. Oh, sorry, Ms. Marbs.
That's okay. I forgot that part. I would like to make a motion that we approve Ms. Edwards' license.
Ms. Paulson, I think you may have, you're muted. I think you may have.
Barbara Paulson, I will second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the license for Ms. Edwards. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Ms. Edwards. Good luck in Arizona.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 8A3, the matter of Rebecca Lutz. And in very, very brief review, Ms. Lutz disclosed that she received a citation in December of 2012 for selling alcohol to a minor while working at a grocery store. Is Ms. Lutz here with us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Ms. Lutz. Just wanted to give you the opportunity to address the board if you so choose.
Hi, yes. So I guess I just want to explain a little bit that this was my first job. I was 19 at the time. And so I made the mistake of selling alcohol to a minor and found out later that it was an undercover cop. But I am thankful for the experience that, you know, it didn't lead to anything dangerous for the individual. You know, it could have gone somewhere worse, but I'm thankful that I learned from it and that I was able to grow from it.
Thank you so much, Ms. Lutz. Any questions from any board members?
I have no questions.
I do. I don't know if it's a good question, but so this is a limited license, Ms. Lutz, and you understand what that involves as far as duration and...
Yes, so I have my NBCOT test scheduled for the end of August.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, thanks for clarifying.
This is Barbara Paulson. I move that the board approve the limited license application of Rebecca Lutz.
Thank you.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the license for Ms. Lutz. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much for your time, Ms. Lutz. Best of luck to you. Take care.
Good luck on your exam.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Moving on. Agenda item 8B1, the matter of Jody, apologies for the probable mispronunciation, Gaudreau. thank you. Thank you very much. In brief review for this reinstatement application, the license expired on May 12th. We received the renewal application on May 24th, and OT was provided from May 15th to May 19th. And Ms. Gaudreau, just want to see if you wanted to address the board at this point.
Sure. First of all, I'm horrified that this even happened. I've been an OT for almost 30 years. I've never missed a cycle. I'm the one that gets the email and immediately sends money. So. Not that that is an excuse, and I should not, and I will never rely on any board to remind me that my license is up. But I work for the school system, and I was sitting doing a continuing ed course, a webinar during the last week of school because we weren't servicing students. And the only reason this really came up is I went to put my information into CE Broker. And when I went into CE Broker, I saw my license was expired. I'm like, this has to be wrong. This I don't miss my license stuff. And so then I went into full-blown panic, and I went in, I started filling in the forms. I tried calling the board office, and I couldn't get through to anyone. So I got in my car and I drove to the Arizona board license place. I was like, I need to know exactly what I need to do. Who do I need to submit my stuff to? I paid the reinstatement. I paid for the installment and I sent this in. That being said, thankfully I'm on summer break. I don't service students. Thankfully it was 5 days of service that I did, and it wasn't more than that. And I didn't return to school and just forget about this. But it was definitely an oversight on my part. I will say to Vicky, she said 2 emails were sent out to me at whatever the 6 months prior or the 30 days. I went back into my email, and both the emails for 2019 and for 2021 are there, but I don't have any emails from 2023. I made my very experienced technology kids look. I'm like, look through mom's trash, look through mom's mail, look through where did I miss these emails? Because I am literally like, the email comes and I send my money. Again, it is not an excuse. I will have a reminder in my phone from here on out that at the 2-year mark, my money gets sent in. But again, I'm horrified. I take full credit, blame, whatever it is. That's my spiel.
Thank you very much for your candor. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Any questions from the board members?
Barbara Paulson, no. I have none.
Charlene Marps, I have none.
All right. Looking at our usual grid for these situations for practicing without a license for 1 day to 1 month, it is typically just a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Yay.
Do we have a motion?
And will you, I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern in addition to the approval, the reinstatement of Ms. Goudreau's license.
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we reinstate the license for Ms. Goudreau with a non-disciplinary letter of concern. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlie Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I'm sorry. I hate to waste any of your time. I really respect all of that. But you're welcome.
We appreciate you being here today to tell
Thank you.
Story.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, moving on to agenda item 2B2, the matter of Eddie Huff. And very briefly, Mr. Huff's license expired February 4th, 2023. We received the renewal application on May 16th, 2023, and Mr. Huff provided OTA services over that course of time that the license was expired. Is Mr. Huff here with us today?
Mr. Chair, he is not here, and I did send an invite.
And looking at our usual grid, practicing without a license, calendar time 1 month to 5.95 months is typically probation of 1 year and 3 hours of continuing education in medical ethics.
This is Barbara Paulson. Does the board have any interest in moving this to another month? It's like we didn't really get any information from Mr. Huff. Would we entertain?
I have an interest in moving it, Ms. Paulson, because I agree there was no additional information, no statement if there were extenuating circumstances, or I mean, it doesn't change our discipline, but it would be nice to.
We can table it?
Yes.
Would that be a possibility for us, Mr. Harris?
You're muted again.
Yeah. What would a Friday afternoon meeting with me be like without?
Exactly. Join the crowd on the muting.
And us lip reading. That's the fun.
You absolutely can. Would you prefer just to continue it and have staff reach out to let them know that this is going to appear on your next agenda and that your attendance is requested?
Yes.
That works for me. Board agrees, yeah? Okay.
We can formally notice him.
Mr. Chair, okay. Members of the board, should I try to give him a call? The email that I send, I do let them know that it's just that they do not have, they're on the agenda. They do not have to attend. However, it is, best to attend in case the board has any questions. And I do let them know because it could be tabled to a following meeting. So I don't know. And yeah, I did send the email. I sent twice an email.
Yeah. I think if the board doesn't mind just sending him a letter, letting him know that, the board heard this. They have a few questions. They'd like you to be present at the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Harris.
No, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
So if we could just have a motion for that, if you don't mind.
Okay. I make a motion that board staff contact Mr. Eddie Huff to let him know that he will be on the July agenda of the board meeting. And the board is looking for
We want to invite him in. I apologize.
Yes, we want to invite him because we need more information to make an authentic decision, I think.
Yeah, to discuss the matter.
To discuss the matter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. So we're going to continue it. Yeah, perfect.
We're going to continue it. Is there a second?
Chris Daly, I second the motion. It is moved and seconded that we table agenda item 8B2, a matter of Eddie Huff, to a future board meeting date where Mr. Huff can be in attendance. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 8B3. The matter of Shane Johnson. And before I give a quick overview, do we have Mr. Johnson in attendance with us this afternoon?
We do, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Igarola.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. Mr. Johnson, I did mute you because of the feedback. Can you unmute yourself if you're able? Just want to make sure he's able to speak up. If not, can you close out and rejoin? That might be the easiest way to re-access this meeting. Okay. And I apologize, board members. I had to mute him because of all the feedback.
Oh.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra.
Mr. Johnson.
Hello?
No.
Hi, Mr. Johnson. Yeah. We hear you.
Hi there. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I could hear you guys, but I couldn't unmute. So sorry about that.
Great. Thank you so much. Just a quickly, we are on to agenda item 8B3, the matter of Shane Johnson, a disclosure. And In brief summary, there was a situation on August 22nd of 2022, which Mr. Johnson did provide a very detailed account regarding, but essentially it was a situation that involved alcohol and then various text messages with a minor. Just in brief summary, ultimately, Mr. Johnson was charged with child sex trafficking, sexual conduct or attempt sexual conduct with a minor, and luring a minor. I know there will be a number of questions for Mr. Johnson, but Mr. Johnson, I just wanted to give you an opportunity at this point. You did provide a detailed account of the situation, but just wanted to give you the opportunity to address the board first, if you would like to do so.
Absolutely. First off, just thank you for the opportunity to be able to address you guys. I wasn't even sure I would be able to or not, but I appreciate it. in my statement that I provided to you guys. I mean, I've had issues with alcoholism that I always basically thought I could control. I mean, I've been an occupational therapist since 1999, and I've always been able to live a professional and public life, and it's like I've had this hidden second life with drinking and binge drinking with so-called friends that I thought were my close friends, and this is dated back to my high school and throughout college, and promoted and encouraged, and I followed that plan throughout since I graduated from graduate school. It cost me two marriages. I've been in front of you guys before on DUI accounts. I was divorced with the mother of my three children in 2017, which I also was in front of you guys in 2016 because of, again, with alcoholism, and it's like I turn into a different person with the alcohol, and I had a attempted solicitation for prostitution charge, which I was put on probation, and I had counseling for, which I completed at that time. But again, I continued thinking I could just, continue. I was living my life. I was raising my kids with 50-50 custody from 2017 on, and continuing to work as an OT, which I absolutely love my career. I've just battled this, come to realize when you hit rock bottom, like I did on August 22nd of last year, it's truly like it smacked you in the face that you truly, you have one of two ways to go. And you take the route to, continue on with self-destruction, or you just try to change your ways. And, that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I as I detailed in my statement letter, I've never been a religious guy, but, I spent 3 months in county, and within 48 hours of realizing what had happened and what I was doing and where I was at, I picked up a Bible that had been just shattered, rescued, not arrested, and started reading it. It wasn't meaning anything to me, but, I joined Bible groups and Bible studies in there, and that part of just realizing that I've got to, I have to change my ways. I have to change my life. Getting my family spread all over the country. No one's out here. They all thought I was crazy for living out here in the desert, coming from the Midwest. And it was easy to hide. It was very easy to come home from work, or as I did that Monday morning, August 22nd, I dropped my kids off at school. They're all elementary school age. And I stopped at a Circle K and began drinking. That was my thought process, was I'll call in sick. And I started drinking at 7:30 in the morning. And I was arrested, 11, 12 hours later. It started to consume me. And I haven't had a drink since that evening. As I detailed in there, I'm staying in a sober living house. A month before I got arrested, or 2 months before I got arrested, through the grace of God, I was brought together with an old high school classmate, from Kansas, and just through a Facebook post, and we were brought together. She realized something was going on that day. She received text messages that were intended for these girls that I was pursuing that day, and realized something was going on, and notified my family once no one could find me or locate me. And they located me in the Maricopa County Jail. But she's an angel in my life. And we've since, like, we got married December 30th. And I know no one would believe, but she actually did marry me knowing all of this craziness. But we just thought it was a great way to end a terrible year and to start off a new year just completely fresh and new. My family, since they're in my life, realizing that I would go months without talking to them. And again, it was easy to hide keeping my family. I have three sisters that are spread all over the country. My mom and dad are retired in Branson, Missouri. And no one knew my business. No one knew what I was doing. They knew I was a successful OT and, a loving father to my three kids. And that's it. And I've gone through immediately when I got released from jail in late October. Thankfully, I have a sister who's a MSW, and she really helped me locate alcohol treatment facilities and inpatient outpatient programs. My parents spent a large portion of their retirement on getting me an attorney, because my mom, she said this was the only chance at me having some sort of a life again, being 50 years of age. And I've been through 3 months of alcohol treatment, continued counseling. I'm in a relapse prevention program now. I've become associated when I was in jail with Roger Munson. He's a felon who, when released, started a Rescue Not Arrested prison ministry association. And that was the Bible that I got his information from, the Bible that I was reading in county. And I've been approved through my probation to be a member, I go to his Bible study group, which is for men who have been convicted of various crimes, but there's probably half the group are sex offenders. I've had approval to go to Christ Church of the Valley in Surprise, the Surprise campus, on Sunday mornings. The sober living house that I live in is owned by a pastor, and we have church services on Sunday and Bible study on Tuesday. And I've just made it I've just completely changed my life with that being my leading force. My wife, she's such a huge support. I mean, she quit drinking. She has told me if I have one drink of alcohol, it's done. Absolutely done. I just feel like I owe it. Like, my children, they're 10 and almost 8, two girls and a boy who's 6. And, my 10-year-old, she just knows that I got in trouble for alcohol. She doesn't, I'm going to have to explain to them, just what exactly happened, because I lost, back in November, I lost custody of my kids, but I was able to get, supervised visitation. The court in Surprise approved that. So, I have supervised visitation as I'm able to, usually about every other Saturday for about 4 hours. with the whole hope of one day getting that 50% custody again.
Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. Sorry to cut you off just in the...
No, it's okay. I know I'm long-winded. I could go on and on.
We appreciate your candor and your recount of the situation. Just had a couple quick questions pertaining to moving into the legal matters of the topic at hand here. So sure. just trying to decipher some of the paperwork, and it looks like you did take a plea agreement with a number of different...
I'm sorry to interrupt. That has been offered. We haven't agreed to that. We're still trying to get it down to a misdemeanor. My attorney's also mentioned possibly getting it. It's called an undesignated felony, which can be lowered to a misdemeanor with good behavior on probation. I have a settlement conference on July 13th. Where we're hoping to kind of finalize some things, but there, you know, we have four goals. Number one is no prison time. Number two is no sex registration, just regular standard probation. Three is minute reducing the charges, and four is not having to go back to do any jail time. So the case is ongoing.
Okay. Thank you so much for that clarification. That was going to be my next question. I noticed there were no signatures from your side on there. So I was curious about that, but also, so are you currently on probation right now?
I'm on pre-trial probation. Yes. I have an ankle monitor, which has been interesting hiding, you know, covering that up while I've been working, but I have a probation officer who, you know, they know where I'm at, obviously 24/7. They know about my job. They know that I'm like working with doing home health, with adult population and geriatrics. And she checks in with me at minimum once a month, but I mean, there's been no issues. I'm at work or at home.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson, do you still have your fingerprint card?
I do. And that is up for, I mean, I have it. Currently, it's up for renewal in September. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to go as well.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
This is Barbara Paulson. I also have a few questions, some that you've already answered, Mr. Johnson. I appreciate the extensive documentation that you provided the board. We always do better with a lot of information. I wanted to ask about this Team Select Home Care Services that you were hired in November of 22, and you're still working for them?
Correct.
Yes? Correct. Okay. Yes. And you kind of addressed this, but it was on my list of questions. Are there minors present in any of the homes where you provide services?
No, that is a great question. And that was addressed by my pretrial officer, pretrial probation officer. Probably 80% of the work that I do is in, Team Select is very heavy in a lot of the assisted living and independent living retirement community. So that is the majority of my work. Okay. Outside of that, I've seen, you know, if I'm in people's homes, it's mostly in Sun City, Sun City West, Sun City Grand, the Pebble Creek area of Goodyear. So I haven't run into that scenario.
Okay. Along that same line, is there another occupational therapist or an employee of Team Select with you when you're delivering services?
No.
You're solo. No. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And
I mean, just to follow up on that, because they're aware of that Friday before, it was the Friday after Thanksgiving, when they, I had a call from the HR manager, and she had let me know that it had come back on my background, you know, that I had had mm-hmm. all these charges, but they had approved the director had approved me, and so she was like, go ahead and you know, come in for orientation on Monday. But when I went through orientation, they said because of the circumstances, they would have me, usually you might have, like in my years past, I would have like my direct supervisor or a supervisor come out and do an annual supervised right. visit.
Okay, thanks.
So they're doing it. I've had that like once a month or one. I mean, they said that they were going to do that, just provide a little more supervision. I think just as a precautionary. Okay. So I've had several, clinical supervisors come out and go spend a day with me.
Okay, but probably not more or less than other people who work for Team Select. Or
maybe not. I mean, they mentioned to that week that of my orientation that they may, given the charges, that they may supervise me a little bit more, which I completely am on board with.
I understand from what you've shared so far, because one of my questions was about, you know, what's the progress on this case? So I know your process is ongoing.
Correct.
So at this time, are you on a lifetime supervised probation with all sex offender terms that I read?
No.
Okay.
No,
that would be part of the plea agreement, correct?
That's the one, because I've had one plea offer, and that was from back in December or January. And
okay.
So that's with that, yes. I mean, those terms go with that initial plea offer, and that's what we're trying not to get. We're trying not to get that.
Okay, I understand that. One last question about your let me flip a page or two here. On the weekly alcohol treatment through Taros, you're still doing that, correct? The relapse
correct.
Prevention?
Now, I'm in the relapse prevention now.
Is that led by a counselor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right.
Just like the treatment. And
okay.
I want to let you guys know as well. I know I included it in there, but I had to go through a very rigorous risk assessment. I think I might have called it a different name in there.
That sounds familiar, what you said. So
I went through an 8-hour day of testing with a psychiatrist. And that was back in April, I think April 18th. It was in the middle of April. May, the middle of last month, I had which went along with it, I had a polygraph test, mm-hmm. which asked all kinds of questions about.
Right. I did see that documentation in the information you sent. So that is the last question from me at this time.
Okay.
And just quick clarification, was that the results of that risk assessment, were they in our packet, or I don't believe I saw those?
I do not have those yet. They are like the actual forms, and like all I was told I passed the polygraph by the tester, but the psychiatrist at the end of the day, she said sometimes it takes 45 to 90 days to put the whole, to get the whole result put together in a packet. And I think my attorneys are waiting for that. They should have that in, obviously in time for the settlement conference, which is July 13th. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't have the settlement conference to present with the prosecutors unless we have the results of all the risk assessment, including with the polygraph. But I have not been given those, like that packet yet.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
Chris Daly, I'd like to move that we go into executive session for legal advice.
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that.
I second.
Oh, yeah. We'll both second that.
It is moved and seconded that we go into executive session for legal advice at 2:40 p.m.
And if I just may ask, Ms. Paulson, are you seconding? Just for the record.
No, I think it was Ms. Marbs.
Ms. Marbs, you're second. Okay.
Sure. We were doing it at the same time.
Okay.
Chris Daly.
Motion.
Oh, so sorry. Motion passes unanimously.
No.
I was doing roll call. Chris Daly. Charlene Marbs. Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Thank you, Ms. Igarola. Motion passes unanimously, going to executive session at 2:41 p.m.
All right. Thank you. Same thing, we'll disconnect and no side conversations, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we're just waiting for, there's Mr. Harris returning to general session at 2:53 p.m. I'm my line of thinking, I do feel like at this point in time, Mr. Johnson is well supervised in terms of everything pertaining to this matter. If we're tossing around the idea of continuing the matter until after the settlement conference. But Mr. Johnson, just a quick question. Do you attend alcohol counseling weekly?
Yeah, it's weekly and in a group session, and then I have individual counseling sessions with the counselor therapist as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Are we ready for a motion, Mr. Daly?
Yes, if there's no other questions from board members, for sure.
Well, I would move that the board continue the matter of Shane Johnson's renewal until after the settlement agreement scheduled for July 13th, 2023. His license will remain in good standing as part of this motion.
This is Charlene Marr. I second your motion.
It is moved and seconded that we continue this matter until after the settlement conference on July 13th, 2023. Yes, Mr. Harris.
He says
I'm muted.
In the motion, did you want to include requiring Mr. Johnson to update the board immediately after the settlement conference as to the results of it, as well as to provide the board with a copy of the evaluation report as soon as he obtains it?
Yes, I would like to have that information updated and written copy of the settlement.
Yes.
The disposition of the settlement conference.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I can take that motion back and try it again. Okay. I'm not sure. The evaluation report is, I need to be a little more specific. That was
risk assessment evaluation report.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's see if I can do this in two.
And the documentation from the settlement.
Yes. Okay. All right. But feel free to jump in once I get started. I need support here. I move that we continue the matter of Shane Johnson's renewal license until after the settlement agreement scheduled for July 13th, 2023, the board is also asking for a prompt report on the outcome from the July 13th settlement agreement, and also a prompt copy of the risk evaluation assessment that he has already completed. Again, knowing that at this time, Mr. Johnson's license will remain in good standing.
As well as all documentation from the settlement conference.
Yes, thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
It is moved and seconded that we continue the matter of the renewal license for Mr. Johnson until after the settlement conference scheduled for July 13th, 2023. Mr. Johnson will update the board immediately after the conference, provide a copy of the risk assessment evaluation report as soon as it is made available, as well as provide all documentation from the settlement conference. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Johnson, do you have any questions for us at this time?
No, thank you. Thank you guys very much. You're more than fair on this. I really appreciate it, and I will get that. I will check with my attorneys to see if they have the they may have the copies of the risk assessment test already. As soon as I'll get that, there's a chance I may have it before the settlement conference. But as soon as I get those, I will get those to the board as soon as possible. And then as soon as I get the results from the settlement conference, I will get that to you guys as well. I really appreciate what you guys have done today.
And just so you know, Mr. Johnson, we are having a board meeting on July 14th.
Yeah, the day I saw after. That.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I saw that.
Thank you very much for your transparency, Mr. Johnson, and your time with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you guys again for everything.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 9, consent agenda, renew review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. And I move that we ratify the 294 initial renewal and reinstatement applications.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we ratify the 294 initial renewal and reinstatement applications. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 10, review, consideration, and possible action. Board business and reports. Item 10A, chairperson's report, updates on OT licensure compact. There are no new updates from last month's meeting. Takes us to item 10B with Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So item 10B1, financial review. So just referencing the financial review log that I had sent over. The items in blue are what we're anticipating to be billing out for the month of June, since this is the end of the fiscal year. We have to use all appropriations by June 30th. And that does include the items that we will be discussing later on for agenda item 14. But just to kind of give you a reference, and part of that as well is we are purchasing board member laptops, which we had appropriation for the fiscal. And we had used those for board staff laptops, since we had a almost blown up laptop on one of our staff.
Oh, boy.
It was an emergency. So now we are now purchasing board members' laptops, which will be split between the athletic training board and the occupational therapy board. As well as right now, we're just ordering supplies and anything that is appropriate for both boards. And currently it does say the remaining ending allotment at the bottom, but that of course will differ. We'll leave about 5% remaining from the amount of the appropriation we received for all four quarters, just in case there's any expenditures that we may have missed during this fiscal year. If there are no questions, oh, and I should mention, we did, I might have mentioned prior, we did hire Gold Intelligent to help us with the Thentia project. They are a software developing company. There's a gentleman named Richard or Rick Gold, and he has been an advocate for us in the Thentia project, since we are still working towards getting configurations completed. And so partial amounts in the appropriation went to a few hours for Gold Intelligent, which have been split between the OT and the AT boards. If there's no questions, I will move on. I'll go to 10B2, review of recent board staff activities. Vicki and I are still working a hybrid model of an office and teleworking. Of course, we'll probably be in a little bit more this coming week because of the end of fiscal year, and a lot of things have to happen. So, and then, of course, Thentia meetings. We've been participating, and Vicki has been supporting the AT board. OT board has not started yet to transition Thentia from Salesforce. So currently we're just doing athletic trainings, and then eventually we'll go to OT, but we're learning a lot from the athletic training board's project to help us support the OT board's project when we do start in August. So we're participating in about three meetings a week and approximately an hour each meeting. So it's quite an intense project. And then
Sinatra, are there any like top three key learnings or lessons learned from their implementation?
Yeah, I would say I don't trust anybody. No, I'm just kidding. We did learn that it's important to have a standard of work. And I'm sure Karen has had a few implemented, but we would like to create our own because that's going to allow us to flow
process better from Salesforce to Thentia, and then taking Thentia's programming and make sure that our staff understands it. I think that's going to be really important. So developing a standard of work or a scope of practice, essentially, so we can move that along is one of the big key takeaways. That's a great question. I would say another one that I'm seeing is that we want to maintain a better digitization of our data and of our files. Currently, we do have, you know, paper files and electronic files split, and I had asked for some appropriation to do digitization. That's going to help because there might be some we're noticing in other boards that there are some issues with some of the data transfers from Salesforce to Thentia, which is a huge concern because, of course, that's historical information that has to be kept based on record keeping practices. So I think we've learned that it's best to also have our own maintenance of files. And we did get to be privy on all the data that Salesforce has been removed from, or I shouldn't say removed, but copied, because it's still in Salesforce, and transition to Thentia. We got to be privy and have that as files in our own Google Drive.
Okay.
So luckily has been housed with us, and we now can make a copy of it and save it. So should things not transfer to Thentia, it's important for us to have that as backup data, essentially. And we're also noticing that that those files, we need to keep our own internal as well. So yeah, that, I think those are probably one the biggest two takeaways that we've noticed.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned, I apologize, we did have to renew Salesforce because Salesforce was coming to expire actually around this time. And so we did renew for 6 more months, and it was a vote we all did as boards, and whoever was on Salesforce got to add in a vote if they'd like a 6-month or 1-year contract, but it was all decided based on how many votes they had received, and it was decided on a 6-month contract. So we did renew on a 6-month contract, and we have not made any appropriations to Thentia at this time. So currently we've just paid Salesforce. And they were able to pull it out of this year's fiscal funds as well.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Great.
Thank you. Good questions. And if I just may add one more item that is kind of relevant is, I did get to speak with Director Deister, who is with Boards and Commissions, and she's actively working on getting us 2 professional board member positions filled.
Yay!
Yes, so she'll work on board professional members first, and then she'll move to public members, of course, as appropriate. And I know, anyways, we'll have to talk, but if that's the decision, you know, we'll see for future. But currently, yes, they have, I believe, 4 applicants.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
And got a review and told that they're appropriate to be interviewed and conduct interviews. And I'm hoping within the next month, I'll have a better update for everybody.
Okay.
Great.
And then last is 10B3 statistics under A. We currently have 4,615 licensees.
I have a question speaking of those numbers. So the rumor on the street is that Vicky's going to try to outdo that 294 and break over 300 for next month. is that valid?
It's March coming up, but I'm going to retire before then.
You can do it, Miss Cigarola.
Come on, Vicky, you're competitive. I'm on my
20 years, September, so I'm retiring. No, I'm not. Not yet.
You've got another 20 in you. Oh, thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Moving on to agenda item 11, review, discussion, and possible action on accepting occupational therapy rules. Subcommittee recommended with respect to the following occupational therapy rules. And we have, beginning with 11A, Article 1, General Provisions, Sections R4-43, 101 to 103. And with your packet was a PDF of all of our notes and comments on recommendations for revisions of the rules. I don't know how much time board members had to kind of gander through there.
Couldn't see it.
Where was that?
I was going to say you have to scroll in. I apologize. It was a little.
I just went to the optometrist. It's like, oh my gosh.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
I apologize.
I'm with Ms. Marbs on that. It's like,
I've got mine at 400%, and oh, I can. Geez.
Okay.
Well, I can put it on the TV monitor, you know, on the big screen for next time. Maybe that would help.
My apologies.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I apologize for interrupting. I do need to excuse myself in like 4 minutes for another meeting. And I just wanted to, you know, I'm not sure how this discussion is going to go, but if it goes well, this is one part of a rule package. I believe the committee's meeting next week to consider some additional information, and you'll consider future recommendations, I believe, at your July meeting. Once you approve it, then, you know, you kind of then go into the kind of the formal rulemaking phase of this exercise. So, you know, we're still on this path. We're still very early on this path, but I just wanted to kind of put it, you know, kind of in context of where we are before I left. And if anybody has any immediate questions, I apologize that I do have to leave early.
Okay.
So we don't have to make any decisions on this today. Is that?
Well, no, you don't. If you believe that you need more time to review it, you certainly, you know, can do that. You are under no time constraints here. And again, this is just being brought to you because of, you know, a big part of the committee's work is done. And so they thought they'd bring what they finished to you. And then again, once the board approves it, then we, you know, then you go through the official kind of rulemaking exercise. And that involves, you know, the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, a rule writer to get it in shape. And, you know, so there's still steps that need to be taken once you approve this. I just wanted to make sure that nobody thought once you approve it, then it goes into our rules. We're still probably a good six months to a year out.
Okay. Personally, I need more time. I really could not like plow through it in the short amount of time. So I would like to see us maybe continue this or table it until another meeting.
Ms. Marps and I will be at the ready next month.
And may I ask if y'all have the time maybe for next week's meeting? We'd like to invite you to participate in the subcommittee meeting if you've got the availability.
What date and time is it?
It's Friday at 2 p.m. and it'll be.
I'm sorry, can I just interrupt? I apologize. Oh. We actually can't because then we have a quorum of the board.
Oh, I apologize.
Oh.
Apologies.
Oh.
Never mind.
That's why. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. Ms. Marbs, we can take that sad look off our face now.
Wait, can't see mine, Barbara.
I know, but I could sense it.
All right. Sorry.
Have a great weekend, Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Mr. Harris. Great Thank weekend.
You. So is it next
I'll Friday? Keep them in line, Mr. Harris.
You know, I think that meeting is on Monday.
Yeah, it's Monday afternoon.
It's Monday. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. I'm so off on my days.
Yeah, at 2 o'clock. Thank you for confirming that.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Now, have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Be well. Bye.
Our numbers are going down.
Quickly.
Okay, instead of watching Netflix, I'll make sure I put this on my screen on the television.
Okay, you know this is being recorded.
They gotta still see it somehow.
We'll make it work. Okay.
Right. If not, I have the original Excel spreadsheet. It's just a little messy, but I could always add that in there for reference.
No, this is probably better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we need a motion to continue the item?
I make a motion that we continue the occupational therapy rules subcommittee recommendations. Until our July meeting.
I'll second that.
It is moved and seconded that we move agenda item 11, review, discussion, and possible action on accepting occupational therapy rules and subcommittee recommendations to our July board meeting. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item of business is agenda item 12. Any agenda items for our next meeting?
I should have probably thought of this one. Would we put Mr. Johnson on the agenda or invite him to come? But it depends if we have information or so. How does that work?
I believe that. Ms. Paulson, I can still notice him since we did formally state in the meeting that we request his presence for the next
okay.
meeting. Yeah. And then possibly then, yes, we would add him as an agenda for the next meeting as well.
Okay.
And if he doesn't have available information, then we would postpone and to a later date. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, our fearless leader.
I have one item. Ms. Goudreau mentioned that she did not get emails from our office, from the board, regarding her renewals. I know email is electronic, so your system should show that they were sent out. I think it would be good if we could have clarification and just clear up that matter, because if there's a glitch in the system somewhere, she may not be the only one where we think we're sending emails, but they're not being received. And I don't know what to title that item, but I just think it would be good business if we could verify, clear it up, and maybe do some type of spot check to make sure everything is, I mean, system glitches happen all the time, and it could very well be that's it, right? So.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the board, it does show, as I stated to her, that her, the 60 and 30 day reminders did go out and were emailed to her, to the correct email address. Mm-hmm. I don't often have where they say they didn't receive it.
Right.
To be in their junk folder 99% of the time.
Yeah.
If it does come up, it's in their junk folder, but they do find it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I just looked and it was there.
Okay.
13th and April 12th.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. And we also, if I may just share my screen, I don't think there's anything here that's, no, I can share this. Salesforce allows us the option to see if the email has been opened.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Salesforce.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I have here, and I'll go through and look, but this was her last application. And it looks like some of her emails, so she was able to open this email at least. This one was
from 2021.
Yeah, 2021 notice of administrative completeness. So, and Ms. Seagorilla, you're right. There are sometimes like they go in their spam. And so that could have been a reason. But they were effectively going through. But we'll take a look and see if we could find that one and see if it was open. But regardless.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like I said, I know system glitches happen. It's technology, right? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Not saying that they should also not be tracking it on their end, but it does.
Oh, agree. Totally agree.
Those emails are very helpful. As a practitioner, I know it reminds me.
Yeah, I just finished my PDUs for my PMI certification. So, yes, I'm.
So you understand completely.
3 years, 24 hours is like it's due in August. So I wanted to make sure it was done in plenty of time.
Yeah. And it's almost harder with the 3 years because it's even more time that you have to remember.
Yeah, I always like to start with a little bit more than required because they'll carry them over. And that way I'm ahead of the game.
Ah, good strategy.
Yeah. So Ms. Mars, was that intended to be an item for agenda item or just more so just a...
Yeah, well, I was thinking agenda item, but if you guys clear it up, then it doesn't have to be. I just felt like we should talk about mm-hmm. it, make sure it's addressed when someone says something like that. Just
okay.
No, that was a good idea.
I'd be interested to know if you uncover anything, if it was an agenda item.
Okay.
Huh? Okay. And we can make it an agenda item.
And just for clarification, we don't need to reiterate matters that were continued over the course of the meeting. For example, the couple of that, say Mr. Huff, who are going to put on the agenda for next time, we don't need to restate that at this point, correct?
It doesn't hurt to do so, being that you're inviting him in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a great question.
So we had Mr. Huff and Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Thank you.
And the matter of the rules.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if I may suggest the date, Dr. Q was not here.
Oh, yes. Yes.
September.
September.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Anything additional?
Not for me.
No.
Okay. Moving on then to agenda item 13, call to the public. Not hearing any calls from the public, our next item of business is item 14, review consideration and possible action regarding salary and or bonuses for executive director and administrative assistant. Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. If I may suggest we go into executive session to discuss the details.
Is that a motion?
I don't think I can make a
I don't think so either. Okay.
I'm just making a suggestion.
Oh,
okay.
I move that.
I'll just stay here. Oops.
Oh, I move that we move into executive decision to talk about employee matters. Personnel matters.
Matters, yes.
Is there a second? All right.
Did you hear Ms. Marv seconded? Yes, all right. So it's been moved and seconded that we go into executive session to discuss personnel matters at 3:24 p.m. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marv?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And I'll hold the open meeting.
Thank you.
Ms. Figueroa? Returning to general session at 3:29 p.m.
All right. I would like to make a motion. Whoops. I move that the board approve a spot incentive for Vicky Udarola and Shana Ganatra in the amount discussed during executive session, or in the amounts, I guess, discussed in executive session.
Do we need this to is Charlene it? Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the spot incentives for Ms. Ganatra and Ms. Igarola as discussed. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well,
you are
well,
more than welcome.
You're very yeah. welcome.
We appreciate yeah. that. Yeah. And Mr. Daly, I will get you that letter, the email, just a quick one to send to our finance team. By Perfect. Monday. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Sure. My pleasure. And hearing no further discussion, I move that we adjourn our meeting at 3:31 p.m.
Well, I'll second that.
It is moved and seconded that we adjourn our meeting at 3:31 p.m. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Meeting adjourned.